I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sports ad free. That's amazon.com/sports ad free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hello and welcome to the Gallant Few Rangers podcast. My name's Colin McDuff and as ever I'll be your host for this evening. Tonight I'm delighted to be joined by Graham Curry. Graham, how have you been?
Aye, good Colin, good. Same as always with this international break, just dying for the football to start back proper. But aye, all well.
Good, good. Well, we've only got a couple of days more to go. Time of recording is Thursday night, so not even 48 hours until we're back watching Rangers. The real football, as we call it. Just before we start then, the last few weeks been trying to bring some sort of wee bit of Rangers history at the start of the show. Today, the fourth kit was... Oh, it sounds so weird saying that, the fourth kit. But anyway, the fourth kit was launched by Castore. So it'd be... I just feel it'd be rude to no talk about that. So Graham, a wee bit of history I'm about to give you here. I'm not going to read all of it verbatim from the Rangers website, but I'm going to take out some of the key points and then... So... Rangers announced, today Rangers are proud to unveil the Gallant Pioneers kit, which celebrates the club's 150th anniversary and pays tribute to the four young lads who had a dream in 1872. The stitched crest on the shirt features our first scroll crest, which was notably featured on our season ticket covers in 1881, when the team were still playing at Kinnan Park and gathering nicknames such as the Moonlighters, due to their commitment to training after dark. The scroll crest, which is now instantly recognisable around the world, is believed by some to be painted by Tom Valens, another man of great importance to the formation of Rangers in the early years. As an extra special touch, the words Gallant Pioneers have been embossed into the fabric to immortalise the great Bill Struth quote. No matter the days of anxiety that come our way, we shall emerge stronger because of the trials to be overcome. That has been the philosophy of the Rangers since the days of the Gallant Pioneers. So a nice wee throwback to Bill Struth as well. So Graham, while the club have never actually played a match in this kit, it is an iconic photo. Everybody standing in that white jersey with the blue star. A lot of questions have been asked around the kit itself over the point since the first time people started seeing this photo. After speaking to Kenny, Craig and the other Graham Campbell from the pod, they pointed out that it's actually the founder's tale. They go into quite a bit of detail around this, and the kit's actually believed to be from Clyde Amateur Rowing Club, which Tom Valens was a member of, and the six-pointed star is actually that rowing club's logo. And I've found a wee bit of writing on the... And their own club's history, which has a wee link to the links with Rangers in the early years. So, suppose, Graham, my first question is, what do you think about the kit itself?
I really like it, aye. It's clean. I like the collar being off-centre. You know, the buttons are down the one side, which I quite like the look of that. As you say, it's got that Gallant few. It's not your strip, is it? It's the Gallant Pioneers. It's got that embossed on it, which looks quite nice as well. Obviously, you need to see it. You actually need to wear it to understand how it would feel as a jersey. But no, it definitely looks quite good, doesn't it? I like the look of it.
I'm a big fan myself, and I'm really glad that they have brought a kit to really throw back to the early years. And I get the argument some people are saying, it should have been the first kit we ever wore or stuff like that. But I think, even though we've never worn this in a match, I think it is really iconic to the formation. I really like it, and the throwback to the photo, and even the kind of marketing they've done around it, the throwback to that iconic photo as well. It's really good.
For Team 14, you've got Patterson in the lineup, and you've got Tav in the lineup, and Davis in the lineup. But just as you say, it's a clever bit of marketing that they've done there. It's quite a nice photo. McGregor, I've not seen McGregor's, I don't know if they're doing a goalie kit. I've seen him wearing it in the picture, but I've not actually seen that up close anywhere. But if that's available as well, that looks quite good.
Nah, it does. I really hope it. I've not seen it anywhere myself, but I hope that would be the goalie kit to go along with it, because it looks lovely, and I think it just all blends together really nice as a team kit. So, just a couple of things on that there. Tom Valens, when I was speaking to the Founders Sale a few weeks ago, they were saying this was such a massive character in the early years. Also, you've been in advisory quite a few times yourself. He's just, every time you look at the early Rangers history, he just pops up everywhere, doesn't he? Whether it's believed to have painted that first badge or going and getting this kit.
Aye, absolutely. He's a big part of the history, and we've obviously got a wee bit of a tie to him, having been going to the pub for a while. So we've always known about him, I think, even before you'd done the Founders podcast, the Founders Trail podcast. We've always had that association with him ourselves, just that wee sort of personal touch. But and a few, well, as you've already said, a few of the boys have actually done the trail, so they knew about it as well. But yeah, I think Rangers have done the right thing here in remembering it 150 years. It's the strip itself is a good commemoration. So, aye, all positive.
Good. We were speaking off air before we started recording, obviously, and that's what off air means. But you are saying you've got a wee lesson your own this week about Rangers history.
It's just good. It's at a family event, and Munko was telling us, you know, this was after a few beers. I said, you need to get me on this podcast. You need to get me on. I said, aye, that's fine. I'll definitely get you on. I've got 1,000 stories to tell you. I went, aye, that would be great. That's great. But anyway, I'm sure that was after a couple of pints. So if I was to ask him now, I don't think he'd come on. I think he'd get a bit shy. But aye, it's just, I love these sort of events because, you know, speaking to my uncle Walter, and he's just telling us about Willie Johnston and all the things that he done. Willie Johnston was his hero, and tricky left winger, but he was just so skillful. Used to rip the mickey right out the right backs of Celtic, and, you know, he was telling us about one cup final where he actually, you know, tore to shreds Craig, I forget the boy's first name now. The boy Craig at right back anyway. Jim Craig? I think it's Jim Craig, Celtic right back. Tore him a new one anyway. And he was just telling me all the stories about him. And then again, he was telling us about when he went over to Vancouver Whitecaps. He went there as part of his career. And he was up taking a corner. And there's a guy in the stand having a beer. So just before he takes a corner, he reans there, has a swig of the beer, crosses a ball in, and somebody puts it in the onion bag, or that's what he called it anyway, puts it in the onion bag. I think he'd done the same thing at West Brom as well, so he had done the same sort of thing at West, he was doing West Brom after Rangers, and again, had done that. And then he was telling me another story about what he'd done. When he went to Hearts, he was playing against Celtic, and what he'd done, I can't find any video of this, but what my uncle was telling us is, he was taking a throw-in, and there was a guy standing right in front of him, It was Davy Provins. So he's playing for Hearts against Celtic. Davy Provins in front of him, trying to block his throw in basically. And he runs up as if to do a big long throw and just follows through and sticks a nut in him. Davy Provins hits the deck and the linesman's seen it and tell him to get sent off. So, but aye, I love hearing these sort of stories. You know, I could listen to him all day telling me stories about old Rangers players and the games that he'd been to. Because my Uncle Walt was about the guy who took me to my first cup final. It was 1991 or 1992. It was at Airdrie, against the Airdrie anyway, so I can't remember if it was 91 or 92, but aye. Just nice to hear these sort of stories in it when you think back about all the old games.
That's a couple of brilliant stories there, and I think it sums up the Rangers team for that generation. You know, talented, brilliant footballers, but hard as fucking nails when it comes to it, by the sound of it.
I think with Willie Johnston as well, I think he used to get booted up and down. You know, been doing a wee bit of reading the last few days, obviously having spoke to Uncle Walter about it. He was saying that he used to get booted up and down the pitch, and he was just trying to retaliate first. He was just trying to get his kicks in before he get kicked first, because it was a physical game at that time. So, aye, definitely a different era.
So all we need to do is get a few beers down your Uncle Walter, then get him to start recording with us. That'll be a show in itself. So, onto the current affairs then. So, massive game on Saturday. Before we come to that, Graham, quick recap on some of the highlights of the international break. I don't think there's very, very, very many football fans at all, if there is even any, who prefer international over club football. I think more and more people are starting to tolerate it, depending on how involved their club is. It's been a wee bit more interesting the last couple of years with more and more Rangers players being involved, which is always nice to see, providing nobody comes back injured, touch wood. But first of all, Stephen Davis, he's now got his 130th cap from Northern Ireland, and that sees him as the most ever capped Rangers player, or the most ever capped player to play for Rangers, I should say. Fantastic achievement for a model pro.
Yeah, it feels like the last year all we've talked about is Steve Davis is just breaking record after record after record. He's not slowing down at all, is he? He just keeps on going, and there's no sign of him slowing down either. He's a phenomenon. His fitness is incredible. How he can boss midfields. He's not a bit part player. It's not as if he's not getting a token cap here and there. He's a mainstay of the midfield for Northern Ireland. So he's a credit to himself, and obviously we're delighted to have him at the club because he's doing great things.
That's the thing with Stephen Davis. I feel like since he came back, I've said every transfer window, if you like, maybe every 6 months, I've had the feeling that he is going to start really having to manage his game time like severely. And it was always concerning how often he was playing for Northern Ireland, but it's just defiant really in old age, and he's not letting that slow him down. And he's proven, I'm sure I wouldn't have been the only person with those doubts, but he's proven everybody wrong. And I think if he was fit, no, sorry, I think barring disaster, he's in the Rangers team 9 times out of 10, really, and it's on merit, not on emotion.
He's the first pick in that midfield, isn't he? Doesn't matter what game you're thinking about, you think, I'd rather have Stephen Davis in that. I think when we go to name, we usually choose a team, what we think it's going to be, and in that midfield three, the first one you mentioned is Davis. That's who you always want in there because you know he's going to boss the midfield and dictate the play. He's got that sort of quarterback, probably a horrible term to use, but is that quarterback mentality where he just bosses it and controls the pace of the game, which is quite important. It's sometimes overlooked, being able to slow a game down and then bust it into pace. He dictates that whole whole pace of a game, which, yeah, it's really good to see for Davis.
Why is amazing that, which we've not seen too much so far this season because Rangers haven't quite been on it. But when the game does go a bit frantic and it suits Rangers to have the game slow down, he's amazing at that. I remember you talking about Barry Ferguson when he came back to Rangers the same time. He was amazing at that when it was a kick and rush kind of game and emotions were getting high and, you know, maybe just going a bit too quick. He was able to just slow the game right down and play at his pace, and that's exactly what Stephen Davis can do. But on the other side, he can really get the ball going quickly up the park as well. He's just an absolute dictator of the midfield. I can't speak highly enough of him, and another great record that he's broken and fully deserved.
And I think he's now going to probably go and have it's going to be a hard record to catch. That's what I was trying to say there. He's going to get more caps. It's not like he's done that and he's going to stop. He's going to continue now for another season or two at international level as well. So he's going to rack up another 10, 15 caps anyway. So it'll be a hard man to catch.
Who was on 129? Who did he beat?
Is this the most capped Rangers player?
Aye, so it's not the most capped player while playing for Rangers. It's just the most capped player who has played for Rangers at some point.
Right.
Has he beat? Oh, neither is no. Oh. Let's make a guess then. Oh, I was going to go DeMarcus Beasley.
It's going to be one of the Americans, isn't it? Because they play every week.
Aye. Let's see if any of the listeners get it. Listeners, give your predictions and those predictions. Give your guesses, or if you know, it's a matter of fact. Give me your answer in the comments, wherever. And if Graham and I have made an ask about it, we'll happily hold our hands up. So I'm going Beasley, Graham Bocanegra, going for the American, probably fucking Russell Watapé or something. Who knows? Right, so a couple of goal scorers over the last few days. Kemar Roof getting his first goal for Jamaica. Again, another one I was concerned about, really, when he was starting to link up with Jamaica for different reasons other than age. I just feel Kemar Roof travelling back and forth and playing potentially three games in a week and stuff. I just think about him being made of jelly over the last 4 or 5 years at times. Quite concerning, but good to see he's playing at that level, starting to sell in well with the squad and getting a goal. He's ever a lack of confidence, but I feel when he does hit form, he just hits level after level after level. So I think this can only be a good thing.
Aye, and it was a good finish. He's just managed to nick in front of the marker. And he sort of just let it bounce off him. He sort of chested it in, or he let it bounce off his shoulder. It was he just deflected it in, but it was deliberate. It wasn't, you know, it wasn't like it didn't deflect off him, but he sort of controlled it in. So it was quite a good finish. Yeah, and if he's now doing that at international level, he's done it at European level, that can only build confidence for him. So hopefully he just continues to build on that. Like all of our players that are away doing international duty, if they can rack up good performances, it's only going to help us in the long term.
Totally, and I've not actually seen this goal myself, but another one who's got himself in the score sheet, Fashion Sakala. Before I ask you about this goal, have you heard the Sakala song that some of the fans were singing?
No, sing me it.
I'm not going to sing it and butcher it, but it's basically in the... It's the chorus of Shakira's song, Waka Waka, the song that was brought out for the South Africa World Cup. I'm speaking to the wrong crowd here. But a catchy wee number nonetheless. So talk us through the goal, Graham. You were a fan?
Aye, good finish. You've managed to beat three players, but a measly dribble. He took it out sort of on the left channel. He was sort of playing on the shoulder of the last man on the right back, picks it up, and he beats a guy who's made a silly sliding tackle. then he's dummied a boy who made a slide tackle. He jumped and he's brought it back inside, and then he's used his right foot to put it into the bottom left-hand corner. So an accomplished finish. I mean, he's up against Equatorial Guinea, so I don't know the standard of the defence there, but on the evidence of the goal, he's took it very well. You know, plenty of pace, plenty of skill, and a good finish. Again, let's hope that's a little confidence boost for him.
I suppose you can only play what's in front of you. What's your thoughts on Sakala so far? I think for me, any of his critics, I think, have been quite harsh on him. He's probably not delivered as much as we would have wanted. A new centre forward striker who had such hype around him in the summer. But for me, I don't really think we've seen enough of him yet to really see what he can do. I think it's been, apart from the start in Europe, it's been very bit part cameos, and I don't think he was terrible in the game against Prague away, albeit it was a very poor performance overall with that Rangers team. But what's your thoughts on your fashion?
Give him time. I think I'm willing to give him time as well. He's very raw. A lot to learn, I think. But he's got a lot of good attributes. So he's good at dribbling, he's got good pace. I think he just needs to get a wee bit tougher. And that doesn't just mean in tackles. I mean, a wee bit striking the ball a little bit harder as well. I think he just needs to build up a wee bit and get a wee bit of strength about him. Because if he can start making it's his final ball, basically, what I'm trying to get at. He's getting into good positions and then not quite delivering when he gets into the good positions. But he's got a lot of other attributes that don't make me want to give up on him just yet. You know, he's running hard. He's very fast. He's got a good work rate. He's getting into good positions. So as I say, if we can just get that final thing from him, that final ball, which obviously is the most important part, being a striker, if we can just get that from him, then I think there's a player in there, and I'd be willing to give him a bit of time. And he might be a victim, and you've already mentioned that we've not been great this season, albeit we're top of the league, and we're ahead at the top of the league, but we're not playing great football, so he might be a wee bit of a victim of that we as a team aren't playing well, so he's not getting the same opportunities that he might have got last season if he had been with us.
I think it's twofold for me, like two sides of the coin, where I think the longer he's here, the more he gets settled in. I think there is enough raw attributes where we can see that the more time he gets, he is going to settle in to be, he could be a very important player for Rangers this season or next or for years to come, hopefully. But I think as hopefully the team gets more settled and starts to find form, his chances may come less and less with the likes of Roof and Morelos maybe hitting form. So I think the big thing is that he has to take the chances when he gets them in the coming months, and he will get chances, but probably potentially fewer than he's had already, providing Rangers put their fingers at us and actually start playing football.
Because it's like Itten as well. You know, Itten's no really had that opportunity. I know he's away on loan, but you felt that I've always felt that there's a player in Itten. I like that player. I think he's got a lot to offer as well. And he just never got the opportunity. He wasn't getting the game time to actually demonstrate it or build up a bit of run in the team. He's another one that I just hope that Sakala doesn't become that type of player where he's only given, you know, 20 minutes here, 20 minutes there, maybe one game a month, and he doesn't get the opportunity to actually build that up. Because if that is the case, then, you know, all that's going to happen with Sakala is he's going to be punted out on loan next season somewhere, or the way Cedric Itten's been dealt with.
I agree, and I think you and I were both big fans of Itten, even though it was only a bit part. I always felt he did give himself a good showing. I think his biggest problem was he wasn't Morelos, but there's very few players who who are capable of doing things that Alfredo Morelos are doing. Having said that, I know Wee Kenny's probably hiding under his Batmobile bed right now listening to this, because he despised Cedric Hitton, but Wednesday's days, what can you say? Incidentally, doing quite well in the Bundesliga out on loan, and he's actually been called back up into the Switzerland squad. Got an assist, I believe, on Friday night. So, regardless of how this loan works out, Graham, whether it's to bring him back or whether it's to move him on for a price, it's working so far. He's doing well, and that's nice to see.
I've not really been following it, to be honest. I know that he got a call up to the national squad, but I don't see any of the Bundesliga football to be able to see if he's doing well or not. So, but all reports that I've read are that he's doing well. So, if he can hack it in the Bundesliga, then that's the only good news for us. If he can come back a more technically gifted football player, maybe.
Aye, you never know. Never know. All the best to him. Keep doing what you're doing. Big set to Ted. So last one will come in the international break. I feel we're going to have this debate around Nathan Patterson and James Tavernier for as long as they're both at the club. But Nathan Patterson had a mixed game against Israel. I thought it was really similar to how he played against Hibs, where I actually thought he was really poor against Hibs in the first half, and even more so in the first half against Israel. Absolutely played himself back into form in the second half for both games, and phenomenal in both second halves. The Faroe Island game, left on the bench, came on in the 83rd minute, 3 minutes later, pops up with a terrific ball in to assist a goal. So all in all, really good international spell for him, but is it enough to get him in your team on Saturday?
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
No, I'd go with Tav. I'm still going to stick with Tav. He's a captain, probably a better player. The time will come for Patterson, but not quite yet. He had a great international, yeah. At that cross that he puts in for Dykes for that fair to go against the Faroes, it's incredible. You know, that's any striker gets on the end of that. Even if it doesn't hit half of him, it's going to hit half a Faroe Islands defender and go in the net. It's such a good ball, and it's something that the Scotland team had been crying out for all night. Put a good ball in. And we just couldn't do it. There was not one good cross put into that box all night. And then he gets, 7 minutes? And he manages to pull one out. It's his first cross to the ball. So, I mean, for Scotland, he's a definite starter. He's got to be a starter. I was surprised that Ryan Fraser got the nod ahead of him. I can only think that's just he's been travelling with us for the last 6 games and not been getting a game, so we better just give him a wee run it. But, yeah, he's got to be the Scotland number two. He's got to be the right back for Scotland. But for Rangers, which is what we're interested in, I think he's still playing second fiddle. He's still playing second fiddle to the captain. Tav's earned his right to have that captain's armband and earned the right to be the number two because of his performance last season alone. You know, the stats that he was producing, you know, I know me and you don't particularly like stats as such, but the amount of assists that he was getting and the amount of goals that he was getting, just those two stats alone, to me, make him the first choice, and it will be for this season at least.
I agree with you. I think Nathan Patterson, he's beginning to answer a lot of questions that I've had, and I spoke about a couple of weeks ago. Well, you know, how does he come back for a setback, for example? And I think you could probably class at least the first half against Israel as a setback, and he does manage to pick himself up, and that shows an absolute massive, like huge level of maturity for a 20-year-old, and that has to be commended. So there is character there. There is a few people saying that he almost tries too hard, and maybe sometimes that is his downfall. And I'm kind of thinking along those lines from Nathan Patterson. I don't know if trying too hard is the right term. Maybe I think he does play the occasion. And that sounds daft because he's not playing World Cup finals or whatever, but he knows he's in the captain's spot. So I don't know if that hype maybe gets to him, and I don't know if he overthinks it or he's maybe too fired up or whatever, and it just throws him off his game. But I think as soon as he gets his level of calmness and that zen around him, then that's when he plays his best football. So that's probably something that I think he definitely will learn to control that if the boy can pick himself up, face setback, on and off the field. I've no qualms with him getting used to starting the games in the right frame of mind.
Do you remember Alan Hutton? Alan Hutton used to get dogs abuse. Now, he turned into a really good right back. But at the beginning, when he was a young boy, he used to make a hell of a lot of mistakes. So it's part and parcel of being a young player that you're going to make these mistakes, but it's how you react to it. If he's going to shrink and hide away, then he's not going to make it. But he's not that type of character. He keeps, give me the ball again. I might make another mistake, but I'm going to try and keep trying to do the right thing. Hutton was like that, and it took him maybe a season and a half to win over the fans. I'll be honest, I was one of them that used to give him dogs abuse, but eventually he turned into a cracking player. So, as I say, it's just part and parcel of being a young player that you're going to make mistakes. As long as you learn from them, and these mistakes are not as frequent as you go on in your career, then he's absolutely fine.
Aye, we say time and time again, whether it's about a young player coming through or a signing, that the Rangers jersey is heavier than others, and it is character that sets the talented players apart. That's just the way of life at Rangers, and Nathan Patterson has character and balls and in abundance. You're right what you say there. He doesn't shy away from responsibility. He doesn't go in his shell, which is, it's the hardest thing to instill in a player, especially a young player, I think. And it's only so promising he's got that. As you said, Nathan Patterson's got a massive career ahead of him, hopefully with Rangers, but it remains to be seen how long we will keep a hold of him. And I'm not being dramatic here. I think it can be within the next 18 months that serious bids will come in for him, thick and fast.
I hope not.
Right, me too, but it's I hope to fuck him wrong, but yeah, it's a sign of the times.
Yeah, we're not really interested in the balance sheet. I mean, we just want to see the best players possible at Ibrox, and he's certainly going to be one of them. But not just quite yet. No for the Hearts game this Saturday. Certainly not.
No. But keep it up, poor Nathan. So looking ahead to Saturday, before we go into the rest of the lineup, the second top of the table clash in a row for Rangers. Graham, I think both Hibs and Hearts will be dangerous on their day, or can be dangerous on their day for Rangers this season. I don't see either of them going the distance. They don't have the strength and depth, particularly Hearts. But I do think that they played well enough so far this season to cause us problems if we don't go about this game right. How do you see Saturday going?
Yeah, this will be a tough one because Hearts are in good form. They have undefeated, I think, in the league this season. I think they've just dropped points through draws, so undefeated in the league. To be honest, Colin, I've not seen enough of Hearts to be able to make a proper, you know, sort of tactical assessment of how they're going to come out and how they're going to play against us. All I can imagine is that they'll probably sit in. I don't see them coming out to gung-ho attackers. I think they'll probably try and pick their moments and try and hit us with free kicks and corners. I think that'll be their biggest threat with the size of them. So I think, again, it'll just be down to us. If we are on it and we want to start playing the ball at pace, passing it around about them, I think it will come down to us. The frustrating thing for us, I think, recently, or what I've noticed certainly, is that we're having plenty of possession, plenty of control of the game, but then nothing in the final third. There's no real final ball, there's no real penetration. So if I'm looking for anything that the weekend, that's what it'll be. It'll be, can we start creating chances and getting some decent shots on goal? Because up until now, I've not really seen it.
I think you're right. Where Hearts only got to come and try and take the game is that maybe Hibs did in the first half before the sending off. I think they will try and soak up the pressure and hit on the break, but I think the difference with Hearts is they've got players who could hit us on the break. Barry McGuire and Ben Woodburn on either side. I think the guy Ben Woodburn, he's had a really good season so far. I think he's, I don't know if he's on loan for one of the English teams. I'm sure he's on loan for somewhere.
I thought it was Liverpool, was it not?
It's Liverpool, is that why I recognise his name? And Boyce is always a handful. Who I really like is, I'm going to butcher his name here, but the boy in the middle of the park, Bannon Gimmy, the number 8, he's a fucking powerhouse in the middle of the park. So I just think if our midfield's been as passive as what they have been at times this season, then that's probably where we'll maybe start to lose a wee bit of foothold in the game. But again, this is me kind of thinking worst case scenario for Rangers if they turn up like how they played against Dundee United, for example, then we're going to make problems for ourselves.
Yeah, I'm trying to remember why, but that boy sticks out to me as well, and I kind of remember actually watching a Hearts game, but that he does stand out as being a great player. Yeah?
In Edinburgh Derby, it was really good.
Was it maybe that game that I watched? Aye. But he will be one to keep an eye on, because he looks quite powerful, that boy. He looks as if he could run through us if we're not careful. So, I want to keep an eye on.
So, but enough about Hearts, man. This is a Rangers podcast, I suppose. Who are you starting up? We'll talk through the back five then. We've already both said that James Tavernier will be a right back. For me, I think it's pretty straightforward. Barring disaster or injury, it's McGregor and goals. Barisic left back. Balogun and Goldson centre halves. Is there any issues with that for you?
No, that's why I'd be going with two. I don't think we need to mess about at the back. We keep that as a back five.
And one thing potentially coming out with Hylander not being available is we're now starting to get a bit of a consistent back four, back five even. I get McGregor's age and we don't want to overdo it with him, but I did feel as if Gerrard was maybe rotating for rotation's sake at times. I think, especially with your keeper and your centre-half, just... Unless somebody is feeling it, just keep that as consistent as possible, and then it starts to build up momentum for the back, I think.
Yeah, I'd prefer to see McGregor in goals. The gap between the games, so it's Saturday to Thursday, so there's if there is any concern, if they're trying to protect McGregor's body or whatever it is they're trying to do with this rotation, I think there's enough time there for him to have the Saturday, Thursday, and then if he needs rested, it's the... In fact, it's the following midweek that we play St Mirren. So I'd like to see a little bit more of a settled side in this constant rotation. Know that you can fault
McLaughlin.
That's terrible, isn't it? How my brain's working like that. My name's just going out my head there. You can't fault McLaughlin because he's come in and he saved the penalty. He saved his points and he's doing his job when he comes in. But you just feel more comfortable when you've got McGregor at the back. It just seems like that's your goalie and that's your back four. That should be your bedrock. That should be what your team's built on.
No, totally agree with you. I think the further up the park, it starts to get more complicated as we go up. So this is my issue. We were waxing lyrical about Stephen Davies there. And he is. I would have him in for Saturday in that like quarterback role, the deepest of the three. But where my conundrum comes is Lundstrom. I think Lundstrom's been one of the better players on form the last 3-4 games for Rangers, but he's been on form in the role that Davies plays. He's not quite adapted to that, like Ryan Jack role, if you like, on just to the right of Davies. I think Davies still does it better. I don't know if I want to take a chance on John Lundstrom going in there or if we play Aribo. I think for me, it's Davies, Kamara and Lundstrom or Aribo. But I don't know, I don't still quite have the confidence that Lundstrom adapting there yet, if that makes sense.
I'm okay with Lundstrom playing. I think he's coming onto a game. I think he took his time to find his feet, find the rhythm of the team. But now I think he's got it. I think he's there. I think he's a midfielder now. I think he should be in the midfield. So I'd have no qualms about playing Davies and Lundstrom in the same midfield. I know some people maybe think that's a more defensive approach, but I don't think Lundstrom is defensive as such. I can see him being more box to box, getting back and forward. So I'm okay with A2 playing. Look at the options we've got now. It's really starting to. Well, as you said, it's difficult to pick a starting 11 now, so, and that's only good for Gerrard, isn't it? When you've got a midfield like that. But Aribo can play further forward, you know. Don't know how you feel about that. Maybe playing him a wee bit further up and playing maybe Aribo, Roof and Morelos, or Aribo, Hadji and Morelos up front.
I think Morelos has drawn it. Well, I suppose my last thing on Lundstrom before we go to the strikers, as much as I do have the reservations of him playing that number 8 role, if you like, if we've got to put a number on it, I think if I'm being completely balanced and fair, I think you've seen the quality the footballer in the last 10 minutes against Hibs when. And I get people got to say it's against 10 men, it's the last 10 minutes of the game, but Davies, Bakuna and Lundstrom, the football they were playing and just how easy they made it look and how much they just dictated everything that went on in the park at that point. And that, for me, that's nirvana. That's absolute blue sky, what we want to get. I just don't know if we get that straight away if I feel 90 minutes, but I'll happily be proved wrong with Davies and Lundstrom on the pitch together. Further forward, Aribo. I always want Aribo. I mean, see if we could pick 15 players, it'd be fucking class. But I do want Aribo on the team. At the same time, Morelos is going to play through the middle. Roof really finding form the last couple of games. I thought Scott Wright played well against Hibs, and I think Hadji's been one of the shining lights so far this season. So there's four players I want to play alongside Morelos, but I don't think the Mason refs will quite allow that. So I don't know. My heart would love Roof and Hadji, but I'd be really happy with any combination in the three up front. What would you go for?
Yeah, I think I'd take Aribo, Hadji and Morelos. I think that would be my front three. I think that's going to be the most creative and the most open football that we can play up front. So that would be my front three. Roof to come on in the second half, maybe. But I think we've got enough. So for me, it would be Davies, Lundstrom and Kamara in the midfield. We had Hadji, Aribo and Morelos up front. a lot of creativity there. There's a lot of goals that we could get from there. So that would be my front six.
Nah, I think you will need probably not to put Scott Wright down too much, but probably the more flair players in this game, because there will be backs against the wall for Hearts, and you will need that one colour ball or that one moment of magic to try and bring them down early on, where I think Scott Wright is more direct and probably know what we need for this game. So as much as he did play well against us, I thought it's probably not a game to start him, I don't think, but it's no criticism of him.
No, but again, I think if we do our job, we'll overcome Hearts. I'm actually thinking we're going to put a few by them. You know, I think we could actually come out and make a statement, because we've not done it yet. We've not put a barrel load of goals through past anybody. Maybe Saturday's going to be the time that we actually come out and we just batter a team. Now, I know they're top of the league, second in the league, and nearest challengers to us, but there's nothing to say that we can't just go and give him a doing.
And I think it is going to be a case of once Rangers give somebody a doing, it will be the spark who gets us going. And I'm feeling the same, but I don't know if that's my head or heart saying that. I don't know if I genuinely think that Rangers are going to come out the traps on Saturday, or if I'm going along the lines of we're due to give somebody a doing, so it's probably going to be
something. That's where I am. I think I'm just saying we're due to do somebody, so could it be this weekend? Yeah. And we're probably still be saying that in March. But we're due to give somebody a doing, we're due to do it.
I don't know if you've noticed, I've tried to be a bit more reserved in my optimism since the night before Sparta Prague, where me and Graham Campbell were like sitting in a fucking ivory tower. Oh, a draw would be a terrible result. Didn't even get that, fuck's sake.
I remember messages you saying, I think we're going to win the Champions League after listening to
that. Yeah, well, if a Rangers podcast isn't to get everybody fired up, then I don't know what it is for. So as always, we'll press you for a prediction, Graham.
I'm going to stick with that then. I'm going to go with the 5-0. 5-0 to Rangers on Saturday. And that'll be a Morelos hat trick with a Balogun header and a Lundstrom strike from the 20-yard line. There you go. Here's my prediction.
I need to start. I'm going to start typing up a wee spreadsheet of these, like the predictions and then the actuals. More the goal score predictions. I love the detail you got there. I'm going to go 3-0 Rangers. It's funny you said 5-0. I always stick £2 in, 5-0, and then a few quid on either centre half to score any time. I've lost a bit of money this year, but last season it came up Trump's Galton and Hollander were fantastic for the anytime scorers. But no, I'm going to go 3-0 Rangers. Galton will open the scoring, rising above the Hearts defence in a corner. Morelos and Roof to score the other two in the second half.
Very good. Noted.
Well, on that note, before I get too ahead of myself, it only takes me predicting 3-0 to Rangers to then, oh, fuck yeah, the following game will be 4-0, 5-0, then again, Scotters winning the Super Bowl. We'll wrap it up there, Graham. All we have to do is really thank everybody for listening, as always. Really appreciate everybody's comments the last few weeks, feedback, good, bad, and different. Thanks very much for everybody. Let us know how you find the show. Please continue to let us know your thoughts on the points raised, and let us know who you think is the second most ever capped Rangers player. Love to know the answer, and it saves me googling. Graham, it's always a pleasure, never a show, my friend.
Cheers, Colin. Thanks, listeners. We are the people.
when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.